Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In his treatise on human nature, in book 2, part 3, section 3, David Hume will bring up this conception of calm passions, which sounds to us in the present very much like an oxymoron, but plays an important role in his moral philosophy, particularly in his account of human action and what makes our decision-making processes actually work, or how the will is determined. And Hume has already argued by the point that he brings this up that reason by itself doesn't actually oppose passions. So if we're feeling a strong passion like fear or desire or anger or hope or joy, sadness, grief, pick whatever you want, reason by itself cannot actually oppose these. So what then can? Well, one thing that can oppose a passion is another passion. And Hume is going to tell us that not only do we have violent passions, the things that we typically understand as our human emotions, desires, drives, but that we also have these, what he's calling calm passions, or to use other language, desires or tendencies. He also talks about them as actions of the mind as well. And if we think about what these are, they're coming from, as he says, the same faculty as the other passions. They're not coming from the faculty that deals with truth and falsity. They're not coming from the understanding or reason. They are coming from our faculty of affectivity, or however you want to label it. And he tells us that these come in two main ways. He says, there are certain calm desires and tendencies, which though they be real passions, produce little emotion in the mind and are known more by their effects than their immediate feeling or sensation. They're of two kinds. Either, here's the first kind, certain instincts originally implanted in our natures. So these are things that you can count on every single human being having, unless there's some sort of deficiency of human nature within that person. And it gives us what we shouldn't take to be an exhaustive list, but it gives us some great examples. He says, such as benevolence, this desire to help other people, to do good to them. He also calls this sympathy at other places. And here's another example, resentment. That is, when we feel like we're being treated in a way that we don't like, we want to retaliate or cause the other person some pain or humiliation, some lowering of their status. Other examples of this, he says, are the love of life, this constant desire to continue in existence and to do the things that will actually augment our existence and to ward off the things that will impede it. And then he has a very specific example, kindness to children. This is something that he seems to think is implanted within us. And we might extend this not only to children, but even to animals and little children of animals, you know, like kittens and puppies or anything like that. That sense of, oh, look how cute that kitten is, right? Hume would say that's actually a calm passion that we feel. So these are things that can oppose other passions. Then he says there's another class of calm passions, and he calls this the general appetite to good and aversion to evil, considered merely as such. So considered without any particular object, but just considered in general. And this is something that plays a major role within Hume's own moral psychology and his ethics, but I think also you can see playing a role in many other people's moral philosophy as well, particularly this general appetite to good and aversion to evil, which is the basis of, for example, natural law theory, right? So Hume is saying that we all have these, unless there's been some sort of damage to our human nature in some way. We all have these operative within ourselves, churning away, going without us feeling them as strong emotion. But they can sort of keep us on track and they can oppose other passions. Now, he says that these are easily confused with the determinations of reason. Now, why would that be? Why would these calm passions, coming from a different source than rationality, be confused with rationality? He says, well, reason itself doesn't produce any sensible emotion, so it proceeds that every action of the mind which operates with the same calmness and tranquility is confounded with reason by all those who judge of things from the first view and appearance. Which would include not only ordinary people, but in Hume's view, many other intellectuals and even moral philosophers. They are judging by the lack of being moved in a violent way that what the calm passions are dictating is, in fact, the voice of reason. He also gives us another explanation for this as well, that there is a similar sensation going on. He says that whenever any of these passions are calm and cause no disorder in the soul, they're readily taken for determinations of reason. They're supposed to proceed from the same faculty with that, which judges of truth and falsehood. Their nature and principles have been supposed the same because their sensations are not evidently different. They feel the same to us. It's sort of a lack of feeling, however. And so Hume is saying what's really important here is that we've got two different faculties in play. Now, he also tells us that we do have these violent emotions, the things that we typically think of as passions or emotions. He says there's violent emotions of the same kind, which have likewise a great influence on that faculty. So he has in his example, when I receive any injury from another, I often feel a violent passion of resentment, which makes me desire his evil and punishment, independent of all considerations of pleasure and advantage to myself. When I am immediately threatened with any grievous ill, my fears, apprehensions, and aversions rise to a great height and produce a sensible emotion. So this leads us to be able to oppose those passions to things like these instincts originally planted, like the desire for self-preservation or the desire not to harm, you know, the innocent. Anger or fear could drive us to ignore that. And Hume tells us something really interesting here about how we ought to judge human beings morally, ethically. So when there's a conflict between these calm passions that are always operative within us to some degree and more immediate violent passions, which could lead us to do other things instead, when these are actually in conflict with each other, what decides? What determines us? What settles the account and has us go one way or the other? Hume tells us that there's two main things that we can look at. One is the general character of the person. The other is the present disposition of the person. So the state that the person is in at the time, perhaps they're stressed out, perhaps they're laboring under some misapprehensions. That could be part of their general, their particular present disposition. But we can also think about the general character of a person. Some people are prone to anger. Other people are prone to allowing fear to drive them to do things that their other drives or instincts or whatever you want to call them would say, no, no, this is not a good idea, and to do things that other people don't seem to fall into. And we can say the same thing about desires for different pleasures or aversions. Grief can make people do all sorts of things. The desire to take care of one's children. Great motivator to doing the wrong thing on the counts of many people. We can think of the corruption scandal recently, but just think about how you have to tell parents at sporting events not to yell at the referees when their team is losing or at the coach for not putting their kid in. Those are examples where disposition would play an important role, but it could also be the disposition or the general character of that person would be deciding it. So he says, what we call strength of mind implies the prevalence of the calm passions above the violent. A person who has presence of mind typically will follow their calm passions instead of following the violent emotions that they're feeling. But he also says that we may easily observe there's no person so constantly possessed of this virtue as never on any occasion to yield to the solicitations of passion and desire. And so this allows us to understand how it is that we often do these things that are not just reasonable, but are based in our human nature without necessarily having some sort of great affective emotion at every single point, and how it is that we can have a conflict between what appears to be reason and appears to be desire, but is really calm passion and violent passion in conflict with each other, mediated by general character and present disposition of the person. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.